This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 114. It is Dr. Jimmy. I don't know about you guys, but my hay situation has been rough this winter. In this episode, I'm going to walk you through some things that you can do when you do get caught in a tough position with your hay supply. I'm also going to teach you how to calculate how much hay you need so that you can plan as well as possible for the future when you do go to buy more hay. But before we get going, I again just want to ask you, please go leave me a rating or a review for this podcast. You can do that either through your podcasting app. You can do it on Facebook, just wherever you feel like you are most comfortable. Please go leave me a rating and a review. Again, that positive feedback really does keep me going. And if you're not already following me on social media, please go give me a follow. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram by searching Dr. Jimmy Equine Nutritionist. Okay, I'm gonna make a confession. I put myself in a jam with hay this winter. I typically like to buy my entire winter's worth of hay during the summer, usually just not too long after the hay has been cut. The reason I do that is because that's when hay supply is most plentiful. So I have the best choices when it comes to the type of hay I want, the quality of hay. And then that's also the time of the year when hay prices are the best because, you know, we have a good supply of hay. People aren't frantically searching for it because a lot of people have their horses turned out on grass. So, you know, summertime is definitely when you can typically get the best prices on hay. Well, in my part of the world, hay producers ran into some pretty serious issues this last summer. Fields that would typically produce, you know, say three hay crops barely made one, which meant that hay was in very short supply all summer. So I bought as much as I could from my normal hay producer, but it ended up not being enough. I mean, maybe it would have been barely enough, but I did what, you know, horse people do, and I went and bought a horse. Well, actually, I bought 2.5 horses. I bought a pregnant mare, and then I also bought a weanling. So by the time I add those mouths on top of the other mouths that I was already planning to feed, I basically found myself painted in a corner and in just a total jam for hay. Now, I know I am not the only one that is dealing with this, so I thought I would walk through some of the options that we have and some of the things that I did in order to get through this as well as I possibly can. And then maybe most importantly, I'm going to cover the basics of how you actually should go about figuring out how much hay you need to get through the winter or through any, you know, certain time period. Let me start with maybe the classes of horses that I'm feeding and kind of describe what my major concerns are for each or how I kind of like rank what hay I'm using for each type of horse. So the first category of horses that I am dealing with is, of course, the pregnant mare and then the weanling, who's actually now a yearling. This is what I call my most important set of horses. And I don't mean that in terms of like, I love them more or anything. I mean it in terms of prioritizing my hay quality. Okay. So pregnant mares and then horses, 3 years of age and under are the ones that are going to need the most nutrition. Now you've probably heard some people say that, you know, when a growing baby hits, you know, 24 months of age or 2 years of age, that you no longer have to treat them like a growing horse. I'll be honest, I don't totally buy into that. I think this is one of those areas where what the book says is different than what we experience in real life. So, you know, horses still grow a lot from 24 months of age to, you know, 4 years of age for sure. And I mean, bones are still growing in different parts of the body at 5 and 6 years of age. And of course, during that time, you know, muscle is developing. These horses are typically going into some, you know, can be fairly intense training programs, which means that they're expending more energy and more calories. So I think it's critical to continue to provide the extra level of support past that 24-month time period. So again, I typically lean more towards like feeding all the way through the three-year-old year, where I am really focused on making sure that those horses get proper trace minerals, vitamins, and amino acids. I also think it's important to remember that, you know, forage should be the foundation of every horse's diet. And in my opinion, if you start with good quality forage, or maybe in better words, if you can start with forage that is matched correctly to the horse's life stage, then the less you have to do from a feed and a supplement standpoint. Now, keep in mind that even the best quality forage is still going to fall short in terms of trace minerals and vitamins. So, and potentially even amino acids. So no matter what, and especially for broodmares and babies, you are going to have to supply those things on top of the forage in order to meet daily needs. Now, I am not saying that your horse is going to, you know, keel over dead if you skip on the vitamins and the minerals. I'm just saying that if you want the body to function at optimum levels and you want the horse to be as healthy as possible from the inside out, you should certainly add proper vitamin and mineral packs to the diet in order to balance out where the forage is deficient. Okay, so again, this is where forage testing really comes into play again and super important. So I encourage everyone to get their forage tested. Okay, back to what I do on pregnant mares and growing horses. So these are the horses that are in my program, they're getting some alfalfa in their diet, and I'm actually mixing it with a little bit of grass hay. So the alfalfa that I had purchased tested 21% protein, and the grass hay that I had purchased tested 11% protein. So if I feed a 50-50 mix of that, basically the forage portion of my diet comes out to a 16% protein average. Okay. So I then top that off with a little bit of feed. The one that I use personally is called Intensify Growth and Development. And I do that in order to provide a bit more in terms of calories, because my grass alfalfa mix was a little bit short in the calorie department, okay, or the energy department. And again, the only way to know that is, of course, to have your hay tested. So the added benefit of using that feed on top of the hay, again, is just, you know, those important vitamins and minerals and amino acids that I mentioned earlier are built into that feed. So it is serving both as extra calories, plus it has that full fortification, so I don't have to add anything extra. Now, if someone wanted to get away from commercially produced feed for any reason, I would suggest looking at using either beet pulp or alfalfa pellets as your carrier, and then adding a diet balancer or a loose trace mineral and vitamin supplement on top in order to hit those vitamin and mineral needs. So there's three options that I typically will use in this scenario. One is a loose powder called Nutrimix Plus. It's strictly vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. There's no flavoring or anything else in the product to aid in taste. Okay, so this is a really good option for people who are maybe wetting down or soaking their alfalfa pellets or soaking their beet pulp. I also really like that product because it provides 100 milligrams per day of biotin. So that's kind of like the extreme support level for hoof quality, hoof health, mane quality, tail growth, you know, coat condition, all of those kind of outward visual appearance things that we love so much about our horses. The other loose vitamin mineral option that I will use is a little bit more, let's call it friendly on the wallet. It's a product called Element, and it provides all of your basics in terms of vitamins and minerals. The third product that I lean on is it's in a pelleted form, It's called 101 Diet Balancer. I really like that one because you don't necessarily have to feed a lot of extra with it. Some horses will eat the 101 just as it is, but most people find it best to feed it with like a handful of beet pulp or a handful of alfalfa pellets or something like that. Now, the nice thing about the pellet form is you don't have to worry about it sifting through to the bottom of the bucket and then getting dumped on the ground and lost forever because that's just wasted money. The 101 is a great option too if you can't feed full rates of a feed. Like, let's say that your pregnant mare is a really easy keeper and she's getting a little bit overweight, okay? You don't want to keep feeding the calories that accompany a fully fortified feed in that situation, but you do still need to get the full rate of vitamins and minerals into those pregnant mares. So that's a situation where I lean on 101 Diet Balancer kind of a lot in that type of a situation. And again, you can use Nutrimix Plus or you can use Element in those cases as well. So as a recap, the best hay is going to my pregnant mare and my growing horse. The next most important in terms of hay quality are going to be my performance or my riding horses. Okay, now I use that term somewhat loosely. It's not like we're doing anything too intense with our horses. And when I say we, it's just me and my like 7-year-old daughter. Okay, but these horses do get ridden frequently and they do haul several times a month. They're also fairly easy keepers, so they get grass hay only. That hay tested 11% protein, and that's enough for them in terms of protein when fed at 2% of body weight per day. So they get between, 20 to 22 pounds per day of hay each. We fall just a tick short in calories. And of course, like I mentioned earlier, they are going to need a vitamin and a mineral pack. So I use a feed in order to accomplish those two things. And the feed that I use is called Intensify Omega Force. I feed about 4 pounds per day of that to one horse and about 6 pounds per day to the other. Realistically speaking, there's about a 200 pound difference between these two horses. That might be a little bit of a stretch, maybe 150 pounds difference. But the smaller horse is a very easy keeper, while the larger horse is a little bit more of a normal to moderate keeper, right? She's not a hard keeper, but she's also not going to get fat on air. So like I mentioned earlier, I use a feed. If you don't want to use a feed, you can use the same options that I had mentioned before in order to provide your vitamins, minerals, and your amino acids. Just, again, you're trying to balance out where that hay is deficient. Okay, then the third most important in terms of quality, and notice I didn't say least important because he is a very important little guy. His needs are just less. I'm talking about the pony. So he is a very easy keeper. He is prone to laminitis and metabolic conditions. So I have to keep him off of green grass, which means he gets hay all year round. I also have to watch, just the overall sugar content of his diet. Okay. So, of course I would never feed him sweet feeds or oats or corn or anything like that. I do need to make sure that he doesn't get overfed in terms of hay, which is probably the hardest part, right? Because when you're used to chunking 10 to 12 pounds of hay over the fence to the big horses for each feeding, it can just feel kind of wrong to only throw 5 or 6 pounds of hay to him. But that's all he needs because of his smaller size. So for perspective, he weighs about between 500 to 550 pounds. So very literally, he is half the weight of my other horses, which means his total requirements are half the amount of them. Okay, so I like using Element on ponies. And again, that was a loose vitamin mineral. And I like that because, many people try to be a bit more cost conscious on their ponies, especially if they're not like riding or performing ponies. Ponies are just, they're easy keepers. They have lower requirements, because they're smaller. So feed is rarely, I'm going to do air quotes here, feed is rarely needed, but it can be used. Just remember, if you are going to use feed for your ponies, make sure that you reduce the amounts down so that it's in line with their body size. And then opt for feeds that are going to have low starch and sugar contents, low carbohydrate contents, right? You know, avoid your cereal grains. So avoid oats, corn, barley, like your typical sweet feed, molasses, wet sweet feed stuff. Like just kind of try to, as a general rule of thumb, stay away from that type of feed for your ponies. Also stay away from that type of feed for your minis, right? So minis, you have to go even lower in terms of their daily amounts, but just because of their body size being even smaller than that of ponies. But you still follow the same protocols, right? So avoid green grass, lean on more mature hay that's a little bit lower in protein and a little bit lower in calories. So those are the categories of horses that I have, which pretty much run the gamut of options, right? The only thing I don't really have is a stallion, and I have no desire to have a stallion. But if you have a stallion and you're wondering where they kind of fit, I would slide them into that category of the performance horse. So their needs are not as high as a growing horse. They're not as high as a pregnant mare or lactating mare. But they'd be very similar to the needs of a performance horse. So kind of, feed them the way that you would feed, a typical performance horse. Now, let's get into some of the tricks that you can use to kind of stretch your forage supply. So the first thing that I did was I fenced off a large area of pasture in front of my house. So historically, we had baled that small field, and but we didn't this year or last year because of the droughty conditions. It just didn't really produce enough grass to make it worth baling. So what I ended up with is what we call stockpiled forage, meaning we just let that grass grow all summer and we never cut it. Okay. So keep in mind, by the time we get to wintertime, that grass is dormant. So from a nutrition standpoint right now, it is about as low in protein and energy as you can get, right? And that means it is not a great option for my pregnant mare or my growing horse, but it is an option for the others. Okay. So my husband graciously helped me fence off this pasture in front of our house, and I turned out the performance horses into that area. So basically the performance horses have spent the last couple of months out on dormant, you know, stockpiled pasture grass. Now, this isn't all roses, right? There's some watchouts. There's some things I have to pay attention to. The first watchout in this situation is, since I know that the quality of that forage that they're eating is really poor, I had to offer more feed in order to make up for the deficits in protein and calories, okay? I went to 8 pounds per day of the Omega Force for both horses, and they've been doing really well. I will say I live in an area where we don't really get snow, so the dormant grass was, you know, available all the time, and they were readily eating it. They spend basically all of their time out there with their heads down, just grazing grass. Now, the other watch out is dehydration and the potential for impaction. When a horse is eating lower quality hay, meaning the non-digestible fiber content is high and the moisture content is low, you have a higher chance of impaction colic if your horses do not drink adequate amounts of water. So I make sure to keep a heater in the tank, a water heater in the tank, so that the water never freezes, because we know that horses don't drink frozen or icy water as well. We also know that horses don't drink murky or stale water very well. So I have made a very serious point to make sure that I keep that tank very fresh. I want it to be crystal clear at all times. And those horses have continued to drink very well. I've really paid attention to what their manure looks like. So walking around checking poop, you know, you'll notice when you, if you do put a horse out into a situation like this where they're eating lower quality forage, their manure is going to get a little bit tighter. It's going to be a little bit more firm. You might notice that it becomes a little bit more brown in appearance rather than green in appearance. There are some very definite changes that you will see in a horse's manure when you move them into a lower quality forage. So just be mindful of that. Again, it's not, there's nothing dangerous about it. It's just something to be aware of so that you know what normal is based on the forage that you're feeding. Because I think that's maybe one thing that I want to make sure everyone understands is that poop doesn't necessarily normalize to the horse as much as it does to what the horse is eating in terms of their forage. So like if I wanted those horses to all of a sudden have really pretty green, you know, poop, moist poop, I could just incorporate some alfalfa or some good quality grass hay into their diet and that would change the look and appearance of their poop. Okay. Same thing. I had someone message me this week, you know, that they had kicked their horses out onto green growing grass. And they said, man, my horses kind of have cow patty poop now. Is that normal? Yes, it's absolutely normal. Those horses just went out into pasture that is high in moisture content. It's lush, it's growing, it's very immature. There's not much fiber in green growing grass. So there's those horses, poops, their manure is going to look a lot looser, probably going to be pretty green. Okay, so what can be done for then the higher nutritional needs horses, right? So the pregnant mare and the growing horse. Well, if you find yourself in that situation, alfalfa pellets or alfalfa cubes are going to be a really great option. These are capable of providing the same nutrition as alfalfa hay. So you can use cubes and pellets in addition to the alfalfa hay that you're already using. Maybe feed half the amount in cubes or pellets, the other half as long stem alfalfa. This will double the length of time that you have on your alfalfa hay. We sometimes call this extending your forage, meaning the actual long stem hay that you have on hand can be extended because you're replacing the daily feed weight with the cubes or the pellets. So the watch out here is in making sure that the horses are not just blowing through all of their cubes within 1 hour of feeding and then spending the rest of the day just wishing for more, right? So I like to pair cubes with long stem grass hay in a slow feeder hay net. This gives the horse something else to do, gives them something else to chew on after they finish the cubes or the pellets. And we care about that because boredom and going long periods of time without food can lead to horses developing vices, so things like cribbing or stall weaving. It can also cause them to develop ulcers, which we obviously do not want. So as a recap, you can lean on alfalfa pellets or alfalfa cubes if you're going to be running out of high quality hay for the horses that have those higher nutrient demands, okay? And those cubes or those pellets can be paired with grass hay to kind of up the total protein and calorie content of the diet if you run into a situation where your grass hay isn't as high a quality as what you would really like it to be. So speaking of that, what happens if you get a load of grass hay in and you've bought it and then you send it off to get it tested and it tests really low? Let's say it tests 6% protein. Do you just toss it out? Absolutely not, especially in a time like this, okay? You can certainly still feed it. You just have to be aware of its limitations. So a grass hay that looks really pretty but tests low in protein is still valuable hay, right? You can feed extra of it. Let's say you were feeding at 1.5% of body weight per day. By increasing to 2% of body weight per day, you can actually gain an extra 30% in calories and protein. Let me rephrase that. So let's say you're feeding 15 pounds per day of this lower protein hay and you bump to 20 pounds per day and the horse is eating it all. Okay. You just gained a third more in terms of dietary protein and calories. Another thing that you can do with lower quality hay is pair it with alfalfa. So take that grass hay, feed it 50-50 with a moderate quality alfalfa, and you're going to put that total diet right back into the sweet spot. Same thing goes with using alfalfa pellets or alfalfa cubes, right? You can feed half the forage in the lower quality grass hay and then the other half in forage cubes or forage pellets. Oh, I guess that's another thing. I keep saying alfalfa cubes and alfalfa pellets, but I mean, you can use any forage. It doesn't necessarily have to be alfalfa. Just keep in mind that other forages, like timothy or orchard grass or something like that. If you get those in pelleted or cubed form, they're likely not going to provide as much protein as what alfalfa does. So just, you know, you have to be mindful of your calculations if you're trying to get your total diet to a certain amount. Now, another option that I have not yet mentioned is the use of a completely fortified high fiber feed. Okay, so these are forage-based feeds with very high fiber levels that are designed to be fed at very high rates, okay? Meaning you feed that product out of the bag at 1.5 to 2% of body weight per day. And those feeds typically have the vitamin and mineral packs built into them, okay? They come in a variety of sizes, from pellets to nuggets to cubes. My personal favorite in that department is one called Equiline Complete. Now, the benefit of this approach is consistency. So typically alfalfa or some other forage is the base of the feed when you're looking at these forage extender, like complete fortified feeds. And then since they are fortified with the appropriate vitamins and minerals, you don't have to add any extra feed on top of them, okay? The watch out here, though, is the chance, again, of that horse just blowing through it, eating it really fast, and then spending a large amount of the day on an empty stomach. So if you choose to go this route, I like to offer a slow feeder hay net with some grass hay that they can nibble at throughout the day. Now, we've gone through all of this. I want to walk you through how to calculate how much hay you should buy, or to put it another way, how long the hay you bought will last, because this shouldn't be a mystery to you, right? We should not be at the mercy of when our last day will be. We should know when our last day of hay will be. So first things first, you have to know your horse's body weight, and you have to know how many horses you have, okay? Seemingly easy items. Let's say that you have two horses. Just for the sake of easy math, let's say they both weigh 1,100 pounds. So you have 2,200 pounds of horse flesh. That means, so if they're eating 2% of their body weight every 24 hours, that means your math is 2,200 times 0.02, which means you will be feeding 44 pounds of hay per day, okay? Second thing you need to know, how much does the hay weigh? People buying hay by the bale wears me out almost as bad as when people talk about feeding by the scoop, right? It tells me absolutely nothing if a hay producer says, I've got hay for $10 a bale, right? Is that a 50-pound bale? Is that a 100-pound bale, right? So let's say that the bales that you are looking at are two string squares, small squares that weigh 60 pounds each. And you're going to buy a bundle of them. So a bundle is typically 21 bales. So the total amount of hay you get in one bundle is figured by multiplying the number of bales, which is 21, by their average weight, which is 60 pounds. So that gives you 1,260 pounds of hay per bundle. Now, to figure out how long a bundle of those bales lasts, you just do a little bit of division, okay? You take the total amount of hay that you have in pounds, which if you remember was 1,260 pounds, divided by the number of pounds that you're going to feed each day, which was 44 because you had two horses that each need 22 pounds of hay per day. So 1,260 divided by 44 equals 28 days. Or just, I mean, that math worked out really nice. It's an even 4 weeks, right? 1 month. So there you have it. If you have two horses weighing 1,100 pounds each, and you can buy 21 bale bundles where the bales weigh 60 pounds each, you will go through one bundle of hay every month, okay? When you're armed with that kind of information, you can then start to decide how many months of hay you want to purchase at one time, and you have a better understanding of how long your hay supply will actually last. And this takes all of the guesswork out of feeding and planning your hay supply. And it works great unless you buy 2.5 extra horses in the mid of winter that were not accounted for in the original math equations, like yours truly. Okay, I will make a post for this episode on my social channels. We can continue the conversation there. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of questions around this. Feel free to ask those questions. Feel free to share photos of your horses. I'd love to see any cool feeding hacks that maybe you have, or ideas or things that you do that I didn't bring up in this episode. And then I especially love to hear about your just like moments of enlightenment that maybe happen, those little ideas that spark as you listen to these episodes. So be sure to hop on the social channels and share those with me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.